Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Quarter shoot. Brantley sees that. Step back. Puts it down. Huge three. And it could be good night, Melbourne United. And that'll do us at Spark Arena. As the clock winds down, the Breakers still in that third spot, hunting that second spot.
16 wins has been up on my board for a very long time. That's our number one goal. You keep asking me if I'm having fun for a big part of the season. So I told myself, when we get to 16, I'll have fun for a little bit, I'll enjoy it, and tomorrow I'll go back to regular.
Well, it's been a challenging anniversary weekend for the Auckland region, but the Breakers have given them and the rest of the country something to cheer about with an 80-74 victory over Melbourne United at the Spark Arena, which thankfully remained dry. That snapped up a 9-game losing streak against the well-coached Melbourne side. Of course, that coach being one very familiar to us and Dean Vickerman. But the Breakers have their own special coach, Mauri Maioa. You just heard his feelings afterwards. He's helped the club turn things around in quite a dramatic fashion. And joining us now is New Zealand Breakers centre Sam Timmins, of course, well-known to us also as part of the champion Otago Nugget. Sam, good morning to you. Thanks for your time.
Morning, familiar. How are you going?
I'm going good, man, but you guys must be going extra good, and there was certainly plenty of emotion around. We just heard that clip from Modi, but what was it like in the locker room afterwards?
Yeah, it was an accumulation of so many different highs and lows that have happened throughout the season. For him personally, like, you know, this is his first season as head coach, but he's been assistant for the last two, and, the going narrative for this whole season is part of the reason why there's so much riding on it, or why there's so much drive to make it a special season, is because of the past two seasons, and he was there for those, so he feels how much this means to the club and to everyone in it and everyone around it and fans. So it's pretty special that we've been able to clinch a playoff spot, and that we know for sure we're going to have a crack at playing for the title.
Right, okay, 16 wins was the goal for the season, now achieved. Last night, the Sydney Kings clinched their top spot. But what about that second spot? I guess all eyes on Cairns now.
Exactly. Yeah, no, we just need Perth to do us a favour and get it done for us.
The Breakers can still, of course, finish second. And if they do, of course, you bypass the play-in tournament, go straight through their semi-finals. Yep. How significant would that be in terms of where you're at, you feel?
Oh, it's massive. You know, like, you skip a whole round of playoffs. That's extra training you get, extra rest you get, time you get to look after your body, time you get with your families at home, recharge. But, like, at the same time, if we miss, you know, there's always the other side of there's extra games that you play, so you come in to the semis with a bit more rhythm. So, honestly, like, either way, I think we'd rather have the second spot and get that extra, you know, time to train and recover and stuff like that. But, you know, either path we have is one that's super achievable for us and the team we have. So hopefully Perth can get it done and we can win out, secure second. But if not, we've still got a pretty good run.
Never better example, I think it's fair to say, Sam, of just the level of support you guys get. 6,500 people turn up in a city that's basically flooding at the time. How motivating was that?
Oh, it was unreal. It was pretty cool, to be honest. Like, especially because, you know, we were just coming back from Brisbane, and it took us a bunch of times to land in the plane. The first time we came in, we got about halfway down through the descent, and then you just feel the pilot hit the jets and just, like, boost back into the sky because we were getting rocked around so much. And then we land, and about 40 minutes after we go through the airport, we're getting photos of the things flooded, and, you know, half the boys are coming back to, you know, there's slips by their houses and flooding going on all over the place, and it's awful to see what's going on. And we were, you know, ready to play a game without fans there, because people had to deal with what they had going on at their home. So when it was Spark was damn near packed out, it was a pretty awesome feeling, and it was even better to get a playoff clinching win in front of them. Mm.
Sure was. Absolutely special. Now, Chris Golding is typically a threat for Melbourne, but your defence managed to put pressure on him. He only shot 3 from 15, which was a big influence in the outcome.
Yeah, man. Because I've been on, this, you know, that's my 6th time playing against Melbourne in a Breakers uniform, and that's the worst, you know, he's ever done. Well, more, I guess it's more fair to say the best we've ever done on him, because yeah, he's always, it doesn't matter how he's shooting at any point during the game, he can always just rattle off 3-4 in a row in a quarter and completely change the dynamic of the game. But you know, we were so locked in on that and so focused that he didn't really get any room to breathe, and those 3 ones that he did make were really difficult, tough threes to hit. So yeah, I think that's a big testament to why we were able to get the win.
On average, how much time do you spend on that defensive situation then during the week?
Oh, it's at the point where pretty much any Chris Golding players, everyone knows them at this point. There's, you know, the baseline staggers and the pin downs that Melbourne always runs for him. And if Chris Golding ever hits a 3, then you know that Melbourne are going to run the next few plays for him, because he's so central to that offense that you have to know. And he's a shooter, right? So anytime he's inside the 3-point line, something is going to be happening, and someone's going to try and set a screen for him to come out and get a 3. So like, whenever you play Melbourne, every team in the league, not just us, is going to spend a good amount of time preparing for just knowing what sort of shooting actions and how they're going to try and get him looks and how to stop it.
Sam, you mentioned before Modi's first season as head coach, although he's been around the scene for a little while. In all the franchises you've played, you get an opportunity, I guess, to weigh up the influence of a coach. What has been, from your point of view, the most influential things that Modi Mayor's style has brought to this franchise?
I think the biggest part with Modi is that there are a lot of times where a coach can feel like, you know, they're trying to hold a controller and, you know, control the team through a joystick, and it's like, oh, I'm going to make sure everything's here. And it feels very, there's the coach and then there's the players. And it's obviously still like that, but everyone feels that Modi's just invested as everyone else in the team. And he gets that, you know, we're all humans and we have other things going on in our lives, and it's like, it's very much to the point where you feel that dude is just as bought in as you and is going to work just as hard as you. And it's cool having someone in the head coach spot that believes in you that much and is going to work that much, and it means that much to him, and it trickles down throughout the rest of the organization.
You mentioned before the rhythm and, you know, the consistency you're going to need going into the playoffs, regardless of whether you've got extra game time or not, but you still have a couple of games remaining in the regular season. How do you think you're going to approach those, having a playoff spot guaranteed? Will you just continue standards, or will you just sit back a wee bit?
I think the most important thing going into these playoff games is, you know, when you get to the playoffs, you don't necessarily rise to occasion. You fall down to your habits. So these 2 games are a really good chance to set championship-level habits. So, you know, if we go in and we kind of rest on our laurels and go, you know, we've already made playoffs, doesn't really matter what happens in these games, then that opens up the risk of, you know, kind of subconsciously falling into that sort of level of effort, habit, intensity, execution. So I think for these next 2 games, it's more important than ever to be playing the game with the level of focus, confidence and intensity that we've, you know, those are the 3 sort of things that we've kind of needed to find the perfect balance of recently, which has brought us on this little run. And I think it's even more important now that we've made playoffs to pick that up in the next 2.
What about the personal development of Sam Timmins? What so far in the season have you been able to get out of it in terms of your own personal game?
My personal game, obviously, you know, I do my extra workouts and stuff, because, you know, me and Dan and Alex McNaught have not been like a super massive part of the playing rotation this year, and that's just part of being on any sort of team, man. So like for me, it's about being a professional, because you know this is my job, making sure that I'm getting the extra work. And like, you know, I think a big thing from last year to this year is, you know, kind of focusing less on just like the fact that I'm not playing, and like, you know, approaching training as like every time I get on the court, I'm trying to earn my way onto the court. And if I do something wrong or I mess up, then it's like, you know, everything's all like, you know, start throwing, getting upset because I'm feel like I'm not going to play. It's more about like just making sure that I'm controlling what I can control. I'm learning everything I can. I'm being a sponge. Like, you know, anything that DP or Rob is doing on the court, that Modi, I'm looking at it like it's me doing it, learning it like it's me doing it. So, you know, I can carry that into, you know, my own time on the court when I get there. It's like I've already got the reps mentally. Yeah, so, man, honestly, just trying to do everything I can to get as much out of it personally while also being, you know, a part of the special team at the same time.
Win, lose or draw in terms of the Breakers season going forward, in terms of perhaps the sales, NBL, et cetera, what are we looking for in terms of Sam Timmins?
In terms of the sales, NBL?
Yep. Back to the Nuggets?
I haven't signed any contract yet, but it's going to be hard for me to go anywhere else. You know, I'm a blue and gold boy.
Well, that'd be nice to know that you're staying with us, mate. We'll get Hutchie on the phone and get that sorted, that contract. It'll be nice.
Sure.
Put another zero on the end of it, Hutchie, don't worry. Look, here's the thing. Been great, Sam. We're all into it. It was particularly fantastic over the weekend, bearing in mind that Auckland was in turmoil, to be fair, that you were able to do that for them. So, yeah. Wonderful. And now we know that we've got a lot more Breakers action to follow up on. So congratulations to you, the squad, Modi, everyone that's part of it. Thank you very much.
Awesome. Cheers, Modi.